Did you know that olive oil is at its peak of flavor and nutrition right after it's fresh pressed at harvest time? That's why my favorite olive oil is delivered to me direct from the latest harvest, thanks to the Fresh Pressed Olive Oil Club. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and as a listener of Intelligent Medicine, you can try a bottle of their finest artisanal olive oil, normally $39, for just $1, with no obligation to buy anything else. I've been enjoying these harvest fresh olive oils for years. They are far and away the brightest, most lively, and flavorful olive oils I've ever tasted. Their antioxidants and polyphenols are off the charts because they're fresh from the harvest. They make store-bought olive oils taste dull and flat by comparison. Taste for yourself. Check out this generous trial offer and get your $39 bottle for a buck with no obligation to buy anything else. Visit myfavoriteoliveoil.com. In my case, it truly is. Myfavoriteoliveoil.com. MyFavoriteOliveOil.com. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. The subject is chronic fatigue syndrome. We're talking via the miracle of modern telecommunications to Dr. Courtney Craig. I'm in New York. She's in Munich, Germany. The reason she's there is because she has attended the Technical University of Munich to further her knowledge of biochemistry and nutritional science. Courtney has suffered from chronic fatigue syndrome. She was first diagnosed at the age of 16, and her journey has been about surmounting the limitations posed by that condition. And you know, I have to say, I've followed you through your career. And you really offer sort of a marvelous balance between open-mindedness and, but also a certain conservatism about some of the, you know, because there's some conditions that are very refractory, sometimes are amenable to very wacky solutions. And, you know, I think you review them in an even-handed way. You know, you look at the potential for natural medicine. You recognize its limitations. It's not a slam dunk. Mm-hmm. You know, you're reviewing the state of the art in a responsible way. So, you know, it's a real service to the community. I think you're a reliable
source. Thank
you
a lot for saying that. That's quite a compliment. I appreciate that because that's exactly what my approach is. When you're dealing with these things is, and I think everyone out there who's listening who has a diagnosis of ME/CFS can agree that you've heard everything. Mm-hmm. Because when you have conditions like this, you know, everybody and their brother is coming up to you saying, have you tried this? Have you tried this?
Yeah.
So you have to have a bit of skepticism, but quite a bit of skepticism, but also an open mind. So there's a balancing act there. Yeah. Thank you.
So let's talk a little bit about mitochondrial support, because I think one of the key concepts in chronic fatigue syndrome, you know, energetic disorder, maybe it has to do with the faulty mitochondrial function in the brain or in the muscles, and therefore let's amp up the efficiency of mitochondria. So what can be done to do that?
I would argue both, peripherally and centrally in the brain. We see this kind of hypofunction of the mitochondria, low ATP levels, and just mitochondrial dysfunction. There are so many nutrients geared toward mitochondria. Not all of them are as well studied as some. And I think a lot of patients have tried pretty much all of them. Some of the common ones are things like CoQ10, acetyl-L-carnitine. Most patients are prescribed these for years, but they don't really report mm-hmm. much benefit from them. It's not something that they say, oh, this gives me an energy boost.
And there haven't been extensive studies. I've not seen studies that show that. And it's a studyable proposition. They could take a small cohort, you know, 10 or 12 patients and give them high-dose ubiquinol, for example.
And, mm-hmm. I think we have had a few very small clinical trials in ME/CFS looking at these supplements, and they mm-hmm. haven't been promising at all.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I've taken them myself, of course, and also have not really warranted much benefit from them. And some of them, of course, all supplements tend to be a bit expensive. So it makes you think, well, is this not the right approach? Or is this not the right supplement? So when it comes to mitochondrial function, I like to instead take a more broad approach And reduce kind of the inflammatory load in general, because reducing oxidative stress in general is going to protect mitochondrial function. And as far as supplements for that, I think the best and the best studied is going to be curcumin.
Mm-hmm.
Curcumin is incredibly potent at reducing oxidative stress, and it will have an effect then to kind of repress the whole global oxidative stress load. To preserve mitochondrial function. The problem with curcumin, though, is its bioavailability. So most supplements are not absorbed when taken. So I really recommend just a curcumin in a form that is going to readily get into the body through the intestine, where it needs to be, essentially, to have an effect. And the only thing that's going to do that is a liposomal form.
Mm-hmm.
And now on the market, we do have several companies making liposomal forms of curcumin. And those are going to be the highest potency and most effective for reducing oxidative stress to level the mitochondria.
Have you looked at all at one of the new kids on the block, which is nicotinamide riboside, which purports to increase NAD, which is certainly a messenger molecule for energy production?
Absolutely. There's a lot of debate, I think, about this nutrient because, you know, it's very popular among Silicon Valley executives that want to have this anti-aging longevity nutrient. And the question is it really bioavailable? And I've seen mixed results in the literature about that. Some of it's bioavailable, some of it's not. I think the better form of it is the NMN instead of the NR.
And even that's controversial because, you know.
Even that's controversial.
Because the
well.
NR people will push back against that proposition, of course.
right. But I digress. Don't want to get technical with the chemistry.
Yep.
But I think some of the best of that on the market is the sublingual or the intranasal form.
Mm-hmm.
Because the problem with this nutrient is you need to bypass liver metabolism, basically. So the intranasal form and the sublingual form seem to be most effective at raising blood levels of NAD. Other than that, I wouldn't.
And there have been no advise. Clinical trials or even anecdotal reports in patients with CFS on that.
Actually, no, there has not been. There was one small study, again, using Niagen, which is nicotinamide riboside. And I don't remember, but I don't believe there was a very positive response from that.
Mm-hmm.
No.
So, you know, you talk about, you know, quenching free radicals and reducing the inflammatory cascade. What about, you know, things like glutathione precursors? Do you think that they might play a role in helping patients?
Yeah, again, these are very popular among patients to use, but they all have bioavailability issues. I mean, glutathione also has a very short half-life. I recommend it sometimes, particularly in patients that are dealing with also mold exposure. I think it's more effective in that instance. But when you talk about reducing the global inflammatory load, reducing oxidative stress, I like to focus on nutrients that hit very upstream, you know, not these kind of downstream pathways. So you want to hit immune cells and key regulatory cytokines that start the whole cascade of oxidative stress and inflammation. So again, it comes back to curcumin, but also things like resveratrol and sulforaphane, which is the main component of broccoli sprouts.
Mm-hmm.
I think
with definite brain activity, it seems to slow the progression of neurodegenerative diseases. There was an autism study even, so yeah.
Absolutely, yeah. You want to have these nutrients. Are they able to access the brain? Are they able to have an effect there? Especially since we have this neuroinflammation piece with MACFS, can we reduce inflammation in the brain? And these, I think, are the three best studied supplements, and they're all available in liposomal forms. So you know that what you're taking is going to be delivered to the tissues that it needs to.
Mm-hmm. And what about looking at the leukotrienes and the prostanoids, you know, maybe affecting that balance by using omega-3 fatty acids? Does that have any plausibility here?
I kind of think those are downstream mm-hmm. effects. As far as omega-3s, I think the best source is from foods. The literature has been all over the place with supplementing that. I think our best bet is to get omega-3s from our, mm-hmm. our food sources instead.
So you've obviously achieved some measure of success in coping with chronic fatigue syndrome, which could have derailed your academic career, your professional career. yes. And, you know, you've achieved, I think, a high degree of performance and productivity. Well, what are some of the things that have been helpful to you personally?
Well, again, it's been 20 years now, so it's a lot to summarize in a short sound bite.
I'm sure you've tried a million things. Yeah,
yeah, tried it all. But initially, as I've mentioned before with you, it's just getting an adequate diagnosis and an adequate assessment. Like understanding all aspects of me, the endocrine, the gut, all balances, that was never addressed, and it took almost 10 years for it to be thoroughly assessed. And so I think it's so important to access a functional medicine minded practitioner or just a good practitioner who takes a really thorough wide view and looks at everything, because maybe there are treatable aspects outside of the disease. But in more recent years, as I've moved around and I've had to rely a lot of stuff on my own, because believe it or not, that this condition's not really even recognized in the country of Germany, so I have to DIY often. I've been able to maintain my progress since my initial recovery using diet and very specific supplementation. As I mentioned before, things like curcumin and, mm-hmm. and really potent anti-inflammatories, but also using low-dose naltrexone.
Mm-hmm. Now, talk to us about LDN. That is one of the plausible strategies often used in fibromyalgia, other autoimmune disease. It's been trialed in Crohn's disease to a small degree.
Right, yeah. There's also some interesting small trials in fibromyalgia, mm-hmm. Which is an overlapping condition as well. We're seeing more and more research with LDN, but because it's an old drug, it's not really profitable anymore to pharmaceutical mm-hmm. companies. It's hard to get these trials funded. But LDN works, again, in the central nervous system. So it acts on a specialized cell in the CNS called the microglia, which is a specialized immune cell in the brain and spinal cord that produces inflammatory mediators. It helps us fight infections and such. The LDN actually binds to a receptor on the microglia to inhibit its inflammatory action. So this is one mechanism. Another mechanism is that it interacts with the opioid receptor, mm-hmm. so our natural kind of pain endorphin receptor. This idea of post-exertional malaise, the immune response that comes with exertion, the pain, the low-grade fevers, I can mitigate all of this that occurs after I exert myself on a hike, for instance, by taking LDN. Then the next day, I am functional.
Do you take it continuously?
That continues to work for me.
Do you take it continuously?
I do not.
Just, okay, just sort of on an as-needed basis.
Yeah, I do. I take it just as needed when I know that I'm going to have a busy day the next day, or if I do something exertional, like a long bike ride or a hike, mm-hmm. then I will take it afterward. And it really completely mitigates the pain, the immune response that I get with exertion. How the mechanism is, we're not quite sure yet, but I think in time there's some research ongoing and we'll understand it better. It's a very promising, safe drug for conditions like this.
Yeah, worth a try. I mean, very easy to prescribe, relatively inexpensive. I don't know about the accessibility in Europe, but in the United States, it's pretty ubiquitous. And we use it sometimes in fibromyalgia and chronic fatigue syndrome. So interesting. Any take on the current infatuation with CBD and hemp-derived products, even cannabinoids?
Yeah, I think we need a lot more research on this, but anecdotally, I think it's very promising, particularly for fibromyalgia or people that have really pain-predominant chronic fatigue syndrome, I guess I could say, or an overlap of both fibro and chronic fatigue. It seems to help a lot of people. And again, it's worth a shot. It's very safe. I think it has a great safety profile, just like LDN does as well, I believe. But yeah, cautiously optimistic on both of those fronts. Just with everything else, it's not going to work for everybody. And some people maybe have adverse effects because a lot of these patients tend to be sensitive to different things that they try. So
let's talk about Ampligen, because Ampligen is a controversial drug that has been known about for a couple of decades. And it's currently in a sort of a shadow status vis-a-vis regulation. It's a small company, Sierra Pharmaceuticals or something, that makes Ampligen out of Incline Village in Nevada. And there's very limited trials available for it. Patients are clamoring for it. The results of studies, it depends on, you know, who you talk to. It's either a slam dunk or it doesn't do anything. What's up with that?
Right. It's kind of been a standstill, Ampligen, for quite some years. There's a bit of controversy. A lot of it has to do with the pharmaceutical company itself.
Big article in
the
New Yorker recently about
that.
Yeah,
excellent piece. I just read that this week as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's a shame. I think there is some fault on the part of Hemispherics, which is the company that was, you know, the FDA was not satisfied with the clinical trials they were putting forth and asked for more. And then Hemispherics kind of switched gears on them and tried to market it instead as almost for the swine flu as an option. And they kind of lost track of their studies in MACFS, and they didn't meet the demands of the FDA. And everything kind of got shelved. And also that the cost of this drug is just, you know, insurmountable for most patients. I think it's $30,000 or something for treatment. And the issue with it is it may work for a subset of patients, but it works when it's given continuously, and it's an intravenous medication, so it's a bit invasive. And once you stop it, I don't know if the effects are as lasting as they should be. So the verdict is still out. I just don't think the resources and the management there were adequate to properly study this medication. But we'll see. Time will tell if it has a resurgence again. It's wonderful that the people that did benefit from it. But again, are these effects lasting?
And there's another potential and reputed breakthrough therapy for this, which has to do with something called CRH, cortisol releasing hormone, if I have this correct, which is a pituitary hormone. I'm sorry, it's a hypothalamic hormone that speaks to the pituitary, that causes the pituitary to signal to the adrenals and in effect, it sort of reboots normal adrenal function, because it's thought that there's some sort of disruption of the hypothalamic pituitary adrenal axis in these patients. I mean, that's reasonable. That sounds like it makes sense. Where are we with the research on that?
Right. So that drug is called Cortine, and it's now entering phase 2 trials with the clinic run by Dr. Lucinda Bateman, the Bateman Horn Clinic, which is a nonprofit clinic now. We shall see. I mean, I am not opposed to any treatment strategy that is actually going to help patients, absolutely, by all means. We have no approved medications. You know, these patients are desperate for some relief. And if this helps just a handful, it's wonderful. The issue I have with this, and also perhaps Ampligen, is, again, going back to this grand unifying theory of this disease, are we approaching this in a cohesive manner? Are we really treating the disease? With the Cortine trial, I really think it's addressing sequelae of the condition. The disrupted HPA axis, I think, is a result of the disease. It's not a causative factor. So when we gear medication toward this, we're just treating a symptom. We're just treating a consequence of this condition. So there's some controversy surrounding this drug as well, particularly in the neuroscientists in this field. I think scientists should, again, take a step back. We need to kind of be on the same page about defining what this condition is. And we need to center research that's not based on just studying the sequelae of the condition, the after effects, the things that are just the result of being sick for so long, but we need to understand the mechanisms that perpetuate the disease. And there we can find treatment strategies that are targeted to upstream events instead of just these Band-Aid approaches, in my opinion.
And some of that's got to come out of political activism. And,
yes.
You know, unfortunately or fortunately, we don't have thousands of CFS patients hurling red paint on the steps of the FDA in an effort to accelerate drug development like we had with the AIDS epidemic.
Well, instead of red paint, we put shoes.
Okay.
I don't know if you're familiar with the millions missing marches that are happening every year across the world. I actually attended one here in Munich this past year.
Hmm.
Millions missing. It's the millions of us that are missing in normal spaces because we're too ill to go out, because these patients are stuck in their bedrooms. They're so debilitated. They can't participate in normal life. They can't participate in research often because they're debilitated, homebound, bedbound. So their caregivers, their family, their friends, they go out and they gather in the streets in different cities and they bring shoes, you know, because when you're bedbound, you're not wearing your shoes to go out often. And it's a really touching event, and it's been incredibly successful in most major cities. You have these grassroots organizations organizing these tremendous events. There was one in Berlin, there was one in Munich. There was a few in New York as well. And it's striking because people are walking down the street and you see all of these shoes laid out on the street.
Mm-hmm.
And with them little notes that give a little biography about the person who is suffering with this condition.
That's a great way to dramatize their plight.
It is. It's been a really successful campaign. So there's been tremendous advocacy in recent years, particularly since the release of the film Unrest. And I commend everyone that's working to be advocates for this. I've been really impressed with what they've been able to achieve in local governments, as well as just raising general awareness online and in person with the general population who still either don't know what this disease is or don't understand it.
Well, we've covered a lot of ground here today, but I want to leave you a moment or so to tell our audience about the services that you offer. You're located in Munich, Germany, so perhaps some of our U.S. listeners can't come and see you, although it's a nice city. Do you do long-distance consultations, or what does that consist of?
I do. I do work through conference calls over Skype or whatever sort of video chat platform is available to work with patients one-on-one to really dive into the history of your condition deeply. And it's one of the most humbling experiences I've ever had in my life to interact with these patients. Some of them have been sick longer than I've been alive. I mean, there's nothing more humbling than that,
mm-hmm.
to hear people's stories and to really kind of try to piece together the timeline of the condition and understand where maybe this person wasn't evaluated thoroughly. Did mm-hmm. we not look at this avenue? Did we not look at this avenue? And then from there, you know, yes, I can order testing. I can order that remotely as well. And make recommendations, you know, and set realistic expectations, all aimed at improving. You know, there is no cure to this condition, unfortunately. But I think there's a lot of things we can do. Some of them are simple. Some of them are not so simple, to move the ball forward, to improve overall health, reduce systemic inflammation, and even little steps in improvement in energy and stamina mean a lot for patients who are so debilitated.
And yeah. The way to contact you is via your website, which is drcourtneycraig.com, correct?
That's right. I'm also on Twitter. I'm on Facebook. I'm easily available online. And yes, you can find me there.
Put up good stuff on social media, and I follow you.
Yeah, I learn so much. I'm always nose deep in the literature. Because, again, this is such an evolving field, and there's so much interesting stuff coming out now and really new minds in the field from different disciplines coming together and giving new perspectives. So it's always interesting to think outside the box, of course, but also learn something that I have no idea about because it's outside of my expertise. So the constant evolution of this forces me to always be abreast of the literature and constantly change my thinking as well.
Great. Courtney Craig is also author of All My Test Results Are Normal, A Smart Guide to Testing for Chronic Fatigue Syndrome. That's available via Amazon as an ebook. Thank you so much for joining us, Courtney, and thanks for your very, very responsible work in an area which is so much needed. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. As I continue to look for more ways to fulfill my pledge to provide the information you need to make informed choices about your health and wellness, I've developed a simple way for you to access curated supplement protocols previously available only to patients in my private practice. Just go to drhoffmanstore.com. There you'll find easy-to-follow links to not only the best individual products, but also to my brand new Intelligent Medicine Lifestyle Supplement Protocols that combine the products I recommend to achieve your specific goals, whether it be heart health, immune support, and much more. It's the easiest way for you to get the exact combination of targeted supplements you need in order to follow the Intelligent Medicine Lifestyle, and for a limited time, you'll also receive free shipping on all of your store orders. For more details, just go to drhoffmanstore.com. That's drhoffmanstore.com.